Matt Maltese is about to hit Australia for the first time. His newest release, Driving Just a Drive, was our international feature album here at Zinn a couple of weeks ago, and it is the epitome of the human experience. He is on the line with me now, live from Bangkok, a few hours before a show. Hello, how are you feeling?
Hi, Sarah. Yep, I'm feeling very good, thanks. It's all a whirlwind at the minute. All these new countries I've never been to in the space of like 2 days each. But yeah, very good, thanks. Yeah.
Are you getting a chance to, explore Thailand and all the other places you've been visiting?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. I mean, actually in Bangkok this time, I have had like an actual day off, which has been really nice. And the temptation is to like sort of rest in your hotel room and just conserve as much energy as possible. But yeah, learning that balance of like you gotta see where you are if you're halfway across the world, but also remember it's like all about the gig as well. So yeah, but it's been great here.
Absolutely. Obviously wanting to experience the world that you're like seeing and that balance of shows and stuff like that. How has it been like other side of the world for you pretty much? How's the travel?
Yeah, I mean the travel is always a bit wild. I think I always the way I feel about kind of like planes and even sometimes like really long drives is that like the human brain isn't like equipped to deal with so much difference of place within such a small amount of time. And I feel at least my human brain isn't. Sometimes, yeah, you kind of don't take it all in. You sort of you like wake up one day and you're in Taiwan and then like the next day in the Philippines. It's just it's all very crazy for my brain. But yeah, I'm surrounded by good people on this tour, and the sort of crowds themselves have been incredibly warm and welcoming. And yeah, I mean it's been lovely really, but it's never not a bit crazy for sure.
Yeah, I can
Yeah.
imagine it'll be like in retrospect, you'll look at it in a couple months' time and you'll
Yeah, that's it.
see
I can't wait to reflect on my whole life when I'm in my 40s, you know.
how much. That's the pain, just being able to like look
Yeah,
at it
finally,
all.
it'll all settle in. I'll be like, oh yeah, I toured Asia. Yeah, that was
Yeah.
good. Yeah.
Have you noticed, is there a difference to the crowds?
Yeah, I mean, interestingly, the closest kind of cultural reference I have for it is kind of how it feels in America a bit. I'd say that like crowds here feel very in a lovely way, just like a little bit unhinged.
Nice.
I felt like screaming and making noise, and maybe that has but not hugely with the UK and Europe. So yeah.
Nice. I'm very excited for you to hit the Australian shores as well, because I feel like we are equally unhinged. But we're not just here to talk about
None of
shows.
this.
We're
Yeah.
here to chat about the
Yeah.
album that you've just
Yeah.
released, Driving Just to Drive. It is absolutely stunning through and through. I feel like there are so many highlights.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's just incredible. I think personally the lyricism is at the forefront of everything. Would that be true for you in like when it comes to making it? Are you looking for a sound? Or are you looking lyrically in storytelling?
I think I'm always looking for lyrics. Yeah, I'm looking for, I guess, like sentences or sentiments that like excite me, I guess. And yeah, I think that's my experience of most things, I guess, music and like TV and film. It's like those sentences that capture life or love or an experience in a way that you haven't heard before, but that sum it up just right. The things that everyone sees but not everyone notices, and that's I guess that's what I love to try and look out for. I often feel like this job is like trying to be a good like noticer. Or at least, yeah, maybe for me, I try and make it that. Yeah.
It's so funny that you say that, because one of the questions I literally have here is about
Yeah.
the first track on this record, Mother. It sort of depicts their sense of losing a second family, almost like when you break up and you're just losing that person, you're losing everyone in their circle. And it was, when I heard that for the first time, it was so surreal, because it was something that like a grief that I'd never really been able to articulate to anyone else. I think it was important for you to like tell stories like that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess because it just, you know, it happens to you, and you are like any other human, you're processing it sometimes throughout your life, you know, and I think sometimes it clicks and you're like, oh, that's what it is. And when that happens in a song, that's, I guess, one of the like the privileges of the job is that you can put it down on paper. And but yeah, like, I guess these experiences we have are never two-dimensional, you know, and they have so many sides and layers, and it's very important for me in my life experience, I guess, to just work it all out, or try and work it all out and understand it more, and see the funny side sometimes. And I don't know, so I guess that comes out in the songs.
Yeah, you can really sense it. And just for anyone listening, there's a line essentially of the premise is you telling your mother that she'll be okay recovering from your breakup. Is that a conversation that actually happened and actually occurred?
Yeah, it did. Oh, no, yeah, it did happen. That came from a real place. And it was, it was just, it's just as the song says or whatever, it was its own sort of weird level of sad and funny, and like the one degree of separation, but it's your own experience as well that you sort of have grieved more in a different way. I've got you again. It's got different, it's basically just got so much truth in it, I guess.
Yeah, it's, again, throughout the entire album, you can sense there's a lot of truth to it. I have a question for you, and I want to know if this was the truth or if it was a little white lie. I saw online that for the music video of the title track, Driving Just to Drive, it's essentially you driving a car, and I saw online that you mentioned it was your mum's car. Is there truth?
It is my mum's car. It is my mum's car, and it's the same sort of drive that I'm kind of talking about. Is the only sort of road I've ever done any driving, just a drive. And because the thing is, I don't drive in London, so this is all like harking back to like 7 years ago in Reading as a kind of teen going to like college, and then also just because I could drive my mum's car, I would sometimes, you know, visit home or be at home and just be like, oh, I'm having a brain muddle or whatever, and just go for a drive and put like Father John Misty on, like a very melodramatic teen. But yeah.
No, I love that. I was like, I wonder if it's really the car.
Yeah.
So it's very cool that it is. It's like a very much, I feel, obviously you're based in the UK and it's sort of like a 180 because Australia is very much the other side of the world, but I can sense it similarly. I've just moved like inner city and I grew up outer suburbs, and that like I don't drive anymore. We're just getting real personal now. My car got like hit by a garbage truck like 2 weeks ago, so I'm definitely not driving now. But it's pretty much become the only time I drive is like, and I'm going back to see my parents, and I like take the same route and I do drive just to drive. So it's just like these little human experiences, I think, you which is really nice.
I'm glad. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. And in, there's another track called Museum, which I think articulates all of this really well as well, because it's sort of like picking all of these little pieces. And I think it's almost like the overarching theme of the album you can kind of sense in this track, Museum. Can you unpack the importance of this track for you a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that was a real centerpiece for the album being about, you know, like childhood and Reading, and that the place it has in my life and heart. And it was taking a kind of, it was sort of going with a notion that all of our lives are lived out as these, you know, we just leave little things behind, whatever we do, and taking quite, I guess, maybe it was a funny notion a bit to me to like imagine that we are all like, you know, exhibitions waiting to be put on, in a way. And Yeah, and I guess it's like sometimes it's how I feel about the past and like memorabilia from your own past is like it's all these like trinkets and ghosts of like family members and friends, and it's all like muddled into your present and your past. And yeah, I think museum was trying to capture that
Yeah.
in a good way. But yeah.
Would you say that it ties in, I guess, to your relationship with Reading now that you're living in London?
Yeah, I guess so, because I get, like the further away we all get from our childhood, the more it does like seem like a relic, and I think that's probably going to be a, I'm probably in like the first stage of that. Like it will probably get even more insane. It definitely does appear now to me like a kind of, in a funny way, like a sort of ancient history. In the span of my life. And yeah, and it's gonna probably feel like even more ancient history as the years roll on. Yeah.
Become a long distant memory.
Yeah. Yes.
Amazing. Well, changing the pace up a little bit, there's another track on the record that I've got to say is a personal favorite. And it's because you collaborated with Big Pig on it. The track is called It's super cool. It's a lot more simple, I would say, than a lot of the others. But how did that collaboration come about?
I mean, yeah, I've sort of worked with Jess a few times, writing just for her, and we sort of become friendly from that. And just, yeah, I'm a huge fan always, and a huge fan of her as a person, and felt that like both of our like sensitivities to things in the world like matched up. And that track is a very, as you say, like it's kind of simple and like shy and sensitive, maybe, that song. So I think there was something about Jess that felt perfect to help finish it. And it was a sort of song I had a half idea of for a few years, and then I just came around to it, and I was like, no, I really want to finish this, but I don't want to finish it myself. And just was perfect. We kind of just, it was like 3 hours. We just like wrote the second verse, and then she, sung it like once in her like ridiculously beautiful, like intimate tone. And yeah, it was just great. I was so happy with how it came out.
Would you say that's typically when it comes to piecing together a record? Do you usually just like go back through the voice memos and the notes app and like go through?
Sometimes, yeah, I think sometimes I have always done that as the years have gone on in bits, sometimes to more extents than others. But I do think it's important, because I think if I kind of just exist in a place where I'm like, I can only start, I can only be finishing a song that I've started in this, like, in speech marks, like era or whatever, I think that it kind of closes you off from the fact that you're an amalgamation of all of your sort of periods of time. And so I think there can sometimes be just something really unexpected brought about by like an idea that started 2 or 3 years ago and then finished by your 3 years older self. And I'm always interested in that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting to see like the connection to like this version of yourself versus the version that might have like written.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's really cool. I want to ask as well to celebrate the release of Driving Just to Drive. You did
Yeah.
this broadcast slash special performance called Live
Yeah.
Dealership, which makes sense. It's
Yeah.
like cars driving just to drive. But other
Yeah.
than the imagery and the parallels, what
Yeah.
drew you to doing that sort of performance?
Why was I, did you say, sorry?
Yeah, like why
Yeah.
did you turn into it?
Yeah. I mean, I guess there was a lot, there was a lot of thought about kind of what I wanted to make, to sort of finish off, I guess, that kind of campaign of, for use of a better word, like content, and I thought I kind of wanted something that was going to feel a bit more of a celebration than like another music video. And I just thought, I've played live for so long, never really documented it in a way I wanted to document it. It's like probably just like a video from a fan that's on YouTube, which is great, but is a different kind of thing, and yeah, I just wanted to celebrate the people I made it with as well. And like Josh, the guitarist, was the producer, and Etta Marcus on guitar, I think, is someone I work with a lot. And Jamie and on bass, I play with all the time. And those wonderful string players I met through the process of making this, but they were great too. And yeah, it just was like, this is maybe, also, I know that a lot of people don't really watch a live video, but there was something so celebratory about that process. And it was actually, even just for myself, it felt really good to have this like gig with the people that I'd made it with in a kind of mad environment, and just the document, because I guess all of this is just a document of the time. And I guess I wanted a thing, yeah, like a video that had that.
Yeah, it's a really nice way to document it. It's like it's nice to have, it's like an extension of the record, I almost feel like really to experience it, which is really cool.
Totally. And I think I'm, yeah, I really like playing live and touring, and also feel that even the way I perform and play has just changed a lot over the years. And that is something that I kind of feel is as important to show as like songs. Yeah, so that was
Yeah,
nice.
nice. What would you say has been the biggest change in your live performance in the past couple of years?
I mean, I guess I'm just probably a bit more trained, like a bit more experienced. I guess you become a stronger singer, you become a stronger player, you feel more comfortable with the environment. Yeah, it's like you're not going to become good at anything by just not doing it lots, I guess, and it's the same. So I think it's been probably pretty incremental, but yeah, I mean, I guess right at the start, like 7 years ago, I was terrified of getting in a room with strangers and like putting myself there, and now I just see it much more in a much warmer light. I just really think it's like a special one of a kind experience that you can never predict, and that's like something to really cherish and hold on to, I think.
Yeah,
Compared
absolutely.
to the art process, which is like very controlled, like recording, you can do and do over and do over, and but yeah, it's just like one night that is going to be, yeah, going to be lived and then not lived, and yeah,
Yeah,
I don't know,
like you can
something about
never
that.
experience that moment again, which is really interesting.
100%, yeah, for sure, it's very present as a thing, so yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, well, on the tone of live performances, you this time next week, actually, you'll be here in Melbourne playing the Norfolk Social Club, which admittedly one of my favorite venues in Melbourne. It's like
Oh,
very
great.
cozy, but like when it's nice and full, which it will be because it's sold out, it feels like larger than life at the same time. How
Cool.
does it feel sort of being able to play shows for the first time somewhere else?
Oh, amazing. And I think yeah, I have a few really close Australian friends, but have never been to Australia, and even that is just, I feel like a kind of connection to it even without having been there yet. And yeah, just hear very good things. I'm excited to be there.
Yeah, well, we are excited to have you here. Matt Maltese is hitting Northcote Social Club on the 2nd of June, and his album Driving, Just a Drive, is out now. Matt, thank you so much for jumping on.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you.